Lady Shear, Chavis Halvav Shara Bitochon, Wednesday, Chavav Adar Aleph, Tavshinayan Dalet.
Yeah. Okay, we're learning Chavis Halvav Shara Bitochon, Perek Dalet. And, you know, Perek Dalet is the application of Bitochon in different life situations. And he has a list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And we're towards the end of number 3, which is how to deal with interpersonal relationships. He said, first he talked about, having friends, and then he talked about being alone, and then he talked about having lots of relationships. Then he talked about how do you deal section, he talked about just how I should deal with the situation. Then he said that if you have relationships, whether they're spouses or relatives or friends or enemies, he says you just have to rely on Hashem to help you navigate, your hishtadlus, so to speak. What you have to do is, and he talks about being helpful to them, doing things that they are relying on you to do, emulate Hashem, do things that are for their tova, be mekayim v'atolecha kamocha, don't be mistorer aleihem, don't be overbearing, just be helpful, think what they need, not your needs, in helping them, but think of their needs. That's how he talks, and then for everything, yeah, and then you rely on Hashem that things are going to work, and you'll be successful, and you'll have this relationship that you want. But if you mate to them for ulterior motives, then you'll lose your schar, and again, this is Chavis Halvavos, nobody knows what you're thinking but yourself, but the schar is in wanting to help someone else. If you're really a taker, and you just look like a giver, then you don't get that schar. Then he goes on to another point, and he says, when you need something, when they need something from you, your attitude should be helpful, even if it's your enemy, do for him. Then he says, if they want something, when you want something from them, so then in your mind, you're asking Hashem for it. You have to be very focused that they are just the channel, they are just the conduit. He says, you can't, like in your mind, there can't be a difference between someone who's more likely to be able to do for you and someone that's less likely. To which I'll add, obviously, once you dip below a certain point, then it's not normal hishtadlus. You go to a person who can't make ends meet and you ask him to lend you $10,000, so that's not in the ballpark. But if two people are capable of doing for you, and you would think, left to the way our human minds work, that one is more likely to, because of whatever cheshbon, or chazak and chala, she calls it, one there's a strong chance that he'll do it, and in one there's a weaker chance, but not dipping below the line of hishtadlus. There's no objective way to describe what that line is, obviously, but he makes this very careful point. We made it in relation to doctors, we made it in relation to many things, and it's very hard. It goes against the grain, it goes against what our minds could wrap around sometimes, but he's teaching us bitachon. You have to borrow money, right? This is what I told you once with a shidduch. I said, my brother-in-law has, I said this over many, many times, I'll say it again. My brother-in-law told me when I first started off, ten years ago, he told me to tell everyone that I have a child who needs a shidduch, and tell everyone you meet, everyone. You're sitting next to someone on a bus, tell them. You never know who the shliach will be. And I followed his direction, and I've done it. Now, there's two ways to interpret that. And mamish, opposite ends of the spectrum. You can do it out of desperation. I'm so desperate, you can do it out of a total zero bitachon. Zero. You're holding by nothing. So you're so desperate that you I'm going to tell everybody I see. That's not what my brother-in-law meant. My brother-in-law was the other way. And this is what the Chavis Halvavah says here. That if I have bitachon, there's no reason to think that a shatchin is more likely to read a shidduch to my child than the person I'm sitting next to on the bus. They can both do it. You just have to know one person. You just have to have one idea. And it has to work. So that the shatchin we think of as chazak. The person sitting next to on the bus we think as chalosh. Why should I bother with the chalosh when I can ask the chazak? So the Chavis Halvavah, now, you're not thinking straight. You're not thinking, I mean, again, bitachon's a lifetime of work, but you're not along the lines of bitachon. A person who's boteach b'Hashem knows, as Yehonasan said to his alms bearer, the Na'ar, Hashem is Moshiach ben Rav lema'at. There's no difference to Hashem. And we explained what the Malbim says. It's poshut, but we should think about it and say, you know, do I really believe that? That's the Malbim. A person can pick up a 10-pound package and pick up a 5-pound package, but he's still working harder when he picks up the 10-pound package. Hashem, no such thing. Hashem doesn't work harder. Nothing's easier. Nothing's harder. It's all Hashem, right? So there's no such thing as chazak and chalash. And I'll repeat, if you go beneath the line of hishtadlus, then you're not doing proper hishtadlus, which is not that Hashem can't handle that, chas v'shalom, but then you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not doing your obligation. But the difference between a shatchan and someone sitting next to you on the bus, unless it's an Arab, I guess, what are you sitting next to an Arab for? But it happens. You could be on the bus to Hadassah, so you're going to be next to an Arab. Chas v'shalom, you're going to be mevakechol or someone. So he said, that's what he says, there's no difference. So you have to, I said by Esther Malka, she was talking to Achashverosh, she's thinking of Hashem, right? She's talking to Hashem. So that's what Chavis Halevi says, he described how to react, how to feel, how to think when someone needs a favor from you, you be totally helpful and kind and think what the person needs and don't be overbearing and don't be expecting a thank you, which we've all learned by now not to expect any thank yous, and just do. He doesn't say why, but that's what a Baal Bitachon does, because you're emulating Hashem, because that's chesed. You don't wait for thank yous, you just help. Think what their needs are. He really is very insightful, because we don't do that a lot of times. We want to satisfy our own needs, so we don't really think what that person needs. And that's a trick. Okay, and then he moves on to when you need a favor from someone, when you need something from someone, don't think of it as you need something from the person. You need something from Hashem, and therefore he says, make sure you thank him if he does for you, or if he tries to do for you, because you're thanking him for his good bechira, that he thought kindly of you, and he did his best. But even if he failed, he didn't fail. Hashem failed, so to speak. So you thank him the same. If he tried, right, and he made a phone call, or two phone calls, or whatever, you thank him the same if he was successful, if he was not successful, because that wasn't him, the success and not success. That was Hashem deciding if his actions are going to bear fruit or not. So you're going to thank him, then he explains a little why you're thanking him, because really it's tzaddik, it's worthy people that good things happen to. Hashem brings a Yeshua through worthy people. Most of the time. Sometimes he could make a whole Medinas Yisrael through Rishoyim. We don't know. The Satma can't handle that. The Satma Shita. But we are comfortable with that. We say there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with the Yeshua coming from Rishoyim. Hashem works in mysterious ways, and that's not a problem. We find in Tanakh and in history that a Yeshua came through Rishoyim. But the Chavis Halevi says, more likely it comes through good people, and therefore you have to give kavod and thanks and appreciation, even though you'll say, it wasn't that person, it was him. You have to think differently when someone does something bad to you, and someone does something good to you. Someone does something bad to you, so you want to take revenge, and you want to bear a grudge, and you want to get them back, then you think, chinuch, you think bitachon, you think it wasn't him, it was Hashem. Right? Hashem Amalo Kalel, David HaMelech says. It wasn't Shimi Ben Geir, it was Hashem. When someone does something good for you, then the Chavis HaLodah says, you thank him because of his Hishtadlus. You realize that the success of what he did was Hashem. You thank him for trying, and therefore thank him even if he was unsuccessful, because that wasn't his problem, that's Hashem's problem. And realize that if he was successful, Hashem usually brings about good things through good people. So, you know, you look at him in a new light. Like, wow, he was Zoche to be the Shliach. So, okay. Now we're starting from... Okay, let's go further in the text. Aval inyone oivov v'chomdov umavakshe ra'oso. People who really have it out for him. How do you deal with them if you're a Baal Bitachon? How do you deal with someone, it could be for any reason, but they're out to get you. And there are people like that. I mean, the whole world's out to get me, so. Right, Nixon is quoted as saying, you'd be paranoid too if everybody was against you. So, how do you deal? I love this, right? This is, again, we're in section of the seven things. This is number three. Relationships. And he went through a couple of sections within relationships. And now he's up to, how do you deal with people who are your enemies? The chomdov means people who are jealous of you. Umavakshei ra'oso. He says, you're a Baal Bitachon. So relax. No one can do anything to you unless it's Hashem's will. Doesn't matter that he has it out for you. Doesn't matter that he wants to get you. It doesn't matter. You're smiling. You don't. Hashem li lo ira ma yaseh adam li. Hashem li lo ira ma yaseh basar li. This is a constant refrain in Tehillim. And he says, yiftach bin yoneim ala bori yisala. V'yizbol cherposam. Take it on the chin. Like a man or like a lady, take it on the chin, smile. Don't al yigmo lehem kapolam. Don't get them back. As much as it feels like justice, it's not justice when it's to you. When it's to you, it's nakama, right? It's nakama, and it's bearing a grudge. And stop this nonsense about you want justice done, because you wouldn't care two hoots if it was happening to someone else. You would go about your day and not be bothered by it. So, val yigmo lehem kapolam, don't pay them back. Now he wants you to be nice to them. And you say, come on, Mr. Chavis HaLavis. I maybe can handle lo sikom v'lo sitar. I maybe can handle thinking it's Hashem. But like, what do you want me, why should I be nice to them? Why should I take them out to lunch? Why should I bake them a cake for Shabbos and send it over? What's that all about? Ach yigmalim chesed, you should do chesed to them. V'yasulahem kol ma sheyuchal asosu min atova. So we're asking why. So the first answer is, what do you mean why? They didn't do anything to you. They didn't do anything to you. So send them a cake like you would send your friend a cake. Why not? They didn't do anything to you. Hashem did it to you. Hashem decided it should happen. So that's number one, is that when we ask this question that everyone said, good question, Rabbi Milinowitz, very good question. We showed our weakness in Bitachon. We showed that we don't really envision and visualize, and I'm also part of we don't visualize that Hashem is doing it to me. We visualize that that guy is doing it to me, that girl, that lady is doing it to me. So he said, I should bake a cake yet. I'm a big tzaddik that I don't mind going over and punching them in the nose. Do them a toiva v'yizkor belibo. And, you know, you got to have in mind, shato alto v'nizko b'yarabori yisala. V'im yiyu sibo lehezeko. If they really mess you up, they got you fired. Really? They got you fired? Anything? Yachshav aleim tov. You have to be done them. This is like, I know, you're thinking to yourself that this is superhuman. Why am I learning this? We're learning this so that if we do it once in 10 times, we are an amazing success, and the Malachim and Shemayim are standing up and applauding for you. If you do it once in 20 times, that's why we're learning it. Because you can do it once in 20 times, do it. Maybe in 10 years, you'll do it twice in 20 times. You'll always have learned the Chavis Havavis, he says, V'dandem l'kafschus, and say, it's my fault. I deserved it. I have a virus. Hashem decided to do it to me. I obviously, it was supposed to happen. I deserved it. And don't go feeling guilty and getting depressed, because that's also not a proper reaction. The proper reaction is, you know, maybe you fashfish by yourself. If you don't, you know, think about how you could fix yourself up, or just think it's going to turn out Latova, Hashem did me the biggest favor in the world, I'm going to find a better job. And them, Yodan Lekafschus, he says, it's not them that did it to you. Your mindset, it's not, like they say, nothing personal. And that's really how it is, says the Chavis Avobus. It's really nothing personal.
Wait,
I'm sorry. They are, but that has nothing to do with you. That's between them and Hashem. Wait, I'm sorry. Goyim? Goyim? You know, this has nothing to do with Goyim. No, I'm sorry. I should have answered you a better answer. Certainly there's a pasuk that says, Halo misanecha Hashem esna, uviskomemecha eskotot. People who are oivim to Hashem, oave Hashem sinura. We hate evil. We hate evil people. You're supposed to hate a Rasha, and you're supposed to think badly of him, and et cetera, et cetera. 90% of our interaction, 95% of our interactions with people, they're not Rishoim. You know, maybe they have certain character faults and whatever, for whatever reason, but so they become Shluchim of Hashem. The Arab is also a Shliach of Hashem, but there I'm allowed to hate him because he's fighting Hashem. I am not fighting my, it's true, this is maybe a subtlety, maybe it's not such a subtlety. I'm not supposed to take it personally. But I'm fighting Hashem's battles. There I'm sticking up for Hashem. When the Arabs say Allah, yeah, or they say Atbach al Yahud, they're fighting Hashem. They're not fighting. Very difficult. If the person has the halachic status of a Rasha, you're allowed to hate him.
But
but again, you're not supposed to take it personally. You're not supposed to take. You're not what? I'm sorry. If they're Rishoyim, well, first of all, you can be done a lot of them lekafschus. You could. You can't be done, for example, lapid lekafschus. He knows exactly what's going on. He's insisting on certain things that are rishus. He's fighting with the heads of the army that don't want him to do it. Because then it becomes a political game. And Bennett, you're supposed to be done, Bennett lekafschus. Yeah, that's what I feel. You are. I mean, it's sad that because of politics and power and this, he went along with something that has... It's so illogical, just from a logical perspective. Yes, Lapid seems to be a Rasha. Seems to be. So then it's Ove Hashem Sinura. But you know something? It's not supposed to be personal. It's supposed to be that it's an Oyev Hashem. Right? You say, there are people that hate Hashem, that are against the idea of a creator. They want to live a life that they want to live. If it's Goyim, or unfortunately some Jews, see religious Jews as representatives of Hashem. We should be proud of that. And the more religious you are, they don't, you know, he doesn't start thinking, he's not thinking philosophically, you know, who's this and Chassidus or Litvish. The more religious you are, the more you represent Hashem, and therefore the more hatred there is. So there, your emotions can be and should be to dislike, to hate, but it really is not supposed to be personal. It's not supposed to be that, you know, he's trying to do something to me. We're supposed to look at it that he's an Oyev Hashem, and Dovid HaMelech says, Halom Masanecha Hashem Esna. No. There, a Russia you don't have to be kind to. You could, you can do, you can, no.
What? No sending cakes. You don't have to be sending cakes.
What, Mrs. Abramovich?
No, I'm just guessing.
How do you know if someone's a Rasha? You have to ask a Shaila.
I'm wondering how a person can do kind deeds and send cases and do all these kind things to someone that in your heart you really.
That's what the Chagol, because you're working on Betachon, because we're working on Betachon. So if you can't do it now, you'll be able to do it in 5 years. You'll learn over Shara Bitachon, you'll listen to these wonderful Shiram on tape, and you'll think about the seven things in Perek Beis, and we work on Bitachon. This is what we're learning. We're learning Chavis Allah Shara Bitachon, and this is what he expects of us if we have Bitachon. We realize that everything is from Hashem, nothing happens to us in Hashem, and this is really a chinuch. Well, I say it's really a chinuch, but a chinuch, you know, I keep on, you know, we think of the Chavis Allah as some, you know, the Chavis Allah was a few centuries before the chinuch. But we, you know, the chinuch is more befeirish, like that's why there's losikom and lositar. But it wasn't them, it was Hashem.
Okay, yeah. Question.
So you're supposed to try. It's part of working on bitachon.
You should do it even with these insincere feelings.
Well, that brings us into another area of avodas ha'adam, and that is do it even if you're not holding there yet, because the actions will pull along your feelings. And soon the Chavis Halavos is going to say, guess what? Take him out to eat, send him a cake, and he's going to become your friend, more likely than not, because more likely than not, it's a misunderstanding. And if you're friendly to him, kamar upon him, upon him, as we have in Shar Chesh Ben HaNefesh, and buy him a present, send over a cake, and become your friend. Because we're not talking about a Russia, remember. Yeah, what you want.
Okay, so this sentence says in English, if his enemy should cause him injury, he should judge them favorably and suspect himself as being the cause of it.
Meaning, you did an avera, so Hashem did that to you.
Okay,
you're
so
getting punished.
What about a woman in an abusive relationship who keeps saying it must be my fault? Or
No. Wait a second. There's two types of it must be my fault.
Okay.
There's it must be my fault that I must be provoking this other person. And by the way, men are also sometimes in abusive relationships.
Okay.
Got to stick up for the men. Okay. They are sometimes. I mean, okay. I'm answering you. The phrase, it must be my fault, can have an okay meaning and can have a terrible meaning. It must be my fault. I must have provoked him. If I had his supper ready on time, he wouldn't have beaten me. I'm taka a spendthrift. Right? All the things that go on in these relationships, that's mental illness. That's sad, and you gotta get the person to a therapist, and you have to say, no, there's no excuse for what he did. Then, if the person thinks that Hashem is doing this to me, and I have to work on myself, on my midos, on my davening, on my binod machaver, or whatever, that's totally kosher. That doesn't justify what the person is doing, it never does. That's a personal cheshbon nefesh. So you say it must be my fault is okay if all that means is not to go along with this abusive relationship and enable it and stay in it. You go to a rav, the rav says it's time to pack up your bags and leave, you know. So you say, but why did this happen to me? Then you're supposed to whip out the bitachon manual and you say, Hashem is doing this to me, I'm sure it's for my own good. And I deserve it vis-a-vis Hashem. But, so you don't deserve it vis-a-vis the other person. The other person's a ganav and a ritzeach, and he or she are probably sick also. But, you know, because they probably grew up viewing an abusive relationship. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. I mean, people are, a lot of mental illness out there. Whether there's more than ever before, that's already a different rant. But, okay, there's two types of it must be my fault. There's a very, very bad one, which we have to tell people, chas v'shalom, and then there's a bitachon one, which is just you and Hashem. So I'm angry at Hashem. No, don't be angry at Hashem. Hashem never does anything bad. Hashem, it's tzidduk hadin. It's like a mini tzidduk hadin. What do you say? You say, tzaddik v'yosher hu. Hashem did it. I must deserve it vis-a-vis Hashem. That doesn't mean, hit me again is a sickness. Okay, someone steals from me.
Very on a simple level, someone steals from me. So I say, I must have deserved to lose this money, and I have to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. But what did I do with the ganav? Does not mean, and no one ever suggests that you should therefore be moichel the ganav, and not call the police, and not take the ganav to Beis Din, and not try to get your money back. No one ever says that. Because you don't know what Hashem wants for you. Maybe Hashem just wants you to have the tsar, and the agmus nefesh, and the tircha of trying to get it back. You don't, there's rules to follow. And I always say, you know you're safe if you follow the rules of the Torah. Right? Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer does it say that, we'll talk about a woman, the weaker sex as they're called, and nowhere does it say, Adarabba, it says, hey, you demand a divorce, and even you demand a divorce if the husband doesn't treat you like a princess. You can ask for a divorce. The din might not be that you can force him to give a get if he doesn't treat you like a princess, but it does. If people would know Eben Ezer, women can women, let's say, can ask for a divorce based on very not much. It doesn't take a lot. It takes a lot to be able to force the husband to give a get. Because that's really a whole area of, because again, they need ratzon and they force him. But it doesn't take much to say that the din is you have to give a get. It doesn't take much. So that's, once you're in Shulchan Aruch, you know you're safe. You're in the parameters of Shulchan Aruch. So where does Bitachon come in? Bitachon is, you're not going to take Nekama. Nekama is also. You're not going to be angry at him, only in as much that he's a Rasha, then you can be angry, right? You're going to do what you have to do, and you're going to protect yourself, and you're going to, you do what you have to do. So that's why people come to Rabbanim. That's why 95% of my meetings are for social work. Nothing to do with Rabbanim, Baruch Hashem. I'm not good at social work, but it would be worse if I would pass in the wrong din. So, okay, so, so be dandam lekavschus and blame yourself vis-a-vis Hashem. Doesn't mean blame yourself. The nakuda is that it's from Hashem, and therefore there's a reason why it's happening, because keil emuna ve'ein ovel. See, once you can convince yourself, so to speak, that it's from Hashem, then the next obvious logical step is to say, I deserved it. But that has nothing to do with the human relationship. That this not happen to you. Right? The way to fight it is not to lash back, but to do tshuva. That's the way to fight it. Again, but what about trying to get my money back? What about reporting him to the police? What about this? So that, this gedorim in the Torah, nothing the Torah says can be anti-bitachon. It's by definition, it can't be. That's Hashem. So it can't be anti-bitachon. Maybe there are stories of tzaddikim that they ran after the ganav and they said, I'm Michael you. You know, that's already, we're not talking about that. Chavir Lubavitch doesn't bring that up in the whole Sefer. He doesn't ask for that, he doesn't demand that, and he doesn't, that's not. Vaz yashuvu oivav lahavaso. Ah, that's what he says, you know something? Be nice to them, and you do what you have to do vis-a-vis Hashem, and I don't know, I can't say more often than not. You'll be surprised when your enemies become your friends. Kamo Shomer HaChacham, Shlomo HaMelech says it in Mishlei, Beretzos Hashem Darkei Ish, Gam Oivov Yashlim Ito. You'll be surprised at yesterday's enemy becomes today's friend. Hashem has many ways of making that happen. It could be a change of heart. It could be he thinks it's advantageous for him to be your friend. Certainly by countries it happens, and that's all. Okay, so that finishes section 3 out of the 7. We had money of subsistence level. We had money, wealth beyond that. And we had relationships. And he went through different perspectives on different relationships. We now move on to number 4, which changes the playing field to Ben Adam Lamakom. Now we're talking about mitzvahs and averus.
I just ask a question.
Yeah, sure.
Why isn't there an advantage to, yes, calling the police on him to prevent him from doing it again?
I just said, if you have to call the police, call the police. No, I didn't say that. I said, Adrabba. Of course you should call the police. I'm not saying carte blanche, call the police in every single case. I am a big believer, even though it gets, I am a big believer that check with a rav first, if you can call the police. I am a big believer in that because I've been around the block and I know that it's a knee-jerk reaction to go to the police, and maybe even 85 to 90% of the time it's justified, maybe more. But you gotta check, because it's not always, and sometimes you're making things worse, and sometimes it's not what you thought, and you got all excited, and it was maybe innocuous, and all sorts of things. Just check with a rope. That's all. If you see someone sneaking around your bushes, and you call the police, and he gets thrown into jail, it turns out he was the gardener. Right? And they fingerprinted him, and now he has a arrest on his record. And all he did was check your bushes to see where to trim them. And you ran to the police. And you went to Rav. The Rav would say he was, we're in your bushes. And you don't run to the police right away. Okay. So I don't want to talk about child abuse now. Baruch Hashem, it's much better than it was even a year ago. By better, I mean more of an awareness that you have to report it and go to the police. That's what I meant by better. And once that becomes more acceptable to Haredi and from society, it's not just Haredi, it's all from society, then the Mela, the incident will go down, hopefully to zero, because there'll be Yiras Onesh and Yiras embarrassment and Yira getting caught and Yira being publicized, etc. So that's, Baruch Hashem, is the societal change that's happening, Baruch Hashem, and it's happening. So, okay, whether you should go to the police or not, as much as I got it over the head and I continue to get it over the head, I will still maintain you have to ask a shaila first. You don't run to the police because you have to know. Hopefully the Rav knows the answer. If he doesn't know the answer, hopefully he has whom to consult with, because the Ritzina Rav, one of his tshuvas, was asked about fixing a stuffed toilet on Shabbos. You know, if it's called Tikkun Kli or not. Like he says, you know, a good Rav will first talk to a plumber. Before passing the Shaila, he's going to sit down with a plumber. Right? And that's all. Shlomo Zalman did unbelievable work on understanding the nature of electricity before he wrote his Tshuvas about electricity on Shabbos and electricity on Yom Tov. You know, you have to sit. A responsible Rav will, Rav can't know everything and doesn't know everything and shouldn't make believe he knows everything. I fail in that respect. But you have to talk to people who are in the know. You have to talk to doctors. You have to talk to midwives. You have to talk to who you have to talk to. Okay. Upirish Achela Karavi. Now we move on to number four, which is Chovas Halavavos V'Ha'Evarim, meaning mitzvahs, obligations. Sheha'odam Misyached B'Toaloson V'Nizkon, meaning, if you remember the list, nobody else is involved. These are private mitzvahs. These are not mitzvahs, and he puts on the list mitzvahs between you and yourself, davening, taking a lulav, sitting in a sukkah, taking challah, no one else is involved. Only you, the Zek Kitzom, he goes through the list. The Kitfila, Sukkah, Lulav, Tzitzish, Mir Shabbos, Vamawadim, the Himonam, and Averus, and keeping away from Averus. The Chol Chovas Halavavos, that's Chovas Eivorim, and Chovas Halavavos, loving Hashem, fearing Hashem, believing in Hashem. Ashalot Avon El Zulosu, but the point of this category is that there's no other person involved. The Toalos and Veniskon Miuchodos Bo are just vis-a-vis him or her, Meblishar B'nei Adam. Okay, how do I apply Bitachon to my mitzvah to take challah, to my mitzvah to daven, to my obligation to hear the shofar, to sit in a sukkah, to my obligation to make a bracha, right? All these things. How does that apply? Bofani Yosher Abitachon B'kulam Elo Alokim. So what does it mean to have Bitachon? Mashani Mavar also, he says, I'm gonna shock you here. So what I am about to explain, Umeho Elokim,
Eshal, I ask from Hashem, says the Chavis Halmavos, Lahoros Osi Ha'emes Barachamov, to please guide me correctly that I not say anything wrong. He expresses, the Chavis Halmavos expresses great humility many times throughout the Sefer. Here is like a perfect example. He says, before I'm about to say something, Hashem should help me I not make a grievous error, or any error. Vuhu, he says now, he gets into the Kishkas. He says, "Ki ma'aseh avodah v'avera." When I make it, this is really true about any decision I make. But other decisions, let's say if it's not a mitzvah or an avera, I'm deciding if I should take a job or not. So really, Hashem is planting in my head the decision. I am not really making the decision. I only make decisions that are bechira, ra or tov. Hashem pushes my head. If I should take this job or that job, I'm assuming, of course, that there's no ra and tov in the two different jobs. Maybe Hashem wants me to earn more money. Maybe Hashem wants me to earn less money. Maybe Hashem wants me to have a longer commute. Maybe he wants me to have a shorter commute. Maybe in this workplace I'll have nisyonos that Hashem wants me to have, and I should grow in my ruchnius because I'll withstand the nisyonos, and maybe, right, all sorts of things. But now he's saying, that's why what he's about to say from a psychiatrist's point of view would be true about any decision we make. But the Chavis Halevavos says no. He says, I'm talking about Maisa Avodah V'Aveira. So why? The way he is about to analyze a person's decision-making process, he's about to analyze. So you say, that's true if I'm deciding what car to buy. No, so why does he say, no, because he holds that's not true. Because there everything's in Hashem's hands. Hashem is making you have some sort of, you don't like the color blue, because Hashem wants you to buy that car. You can't even, right, that article that we said, you don't even know what's going on. It's not a logical, but when it comes to mitzvahs and averus, lo yitochnu la'odam, the decision-making process is, can be kovid shlosha dvarim. He says, making a decision and carrying it out involves three distinct steps. Now, the first and the third are easy. The question is what he means by the second. Ha'echad is ha'bechira b'libu u'matzpuno. I make a decision. And he's going to say in a couple of lines that Hashem is uninvolved in this. Hashem is, I have bitachon, I'm going to go to sleep, and if I wake up on time for davening, if I don't, I won't. It's up to Hashem. I have bitachon. He's going to say in a couple of lines, we'll learn it next week, that that is the height of foolishness, and it's a person that has no concept of Bechira. That is up to you, Hashem. How Hashem takes himself out of the picture, I don't know. I don't know. That's too deep for me. How can Hashem take himself out of a picture? He obviously gives me the ability to be Bocher, and he gives me, and my brain is functioning only because he's enabling it to function, but the decision somewhere in my brain that I make a decision that's Bechira, Hashem is not there, he says. And, that's why he gave this Hagdama. Hashem, please be moichel me if I'm saying something wrong. Number one is the decision. The question is, what's number two? Because number three is carrying out the decision. And he's going to say, guess what? Carrying out the decision, you have nothing to do with. It's up to Hashem. You decide you want to be Mavakachola. You can be stuck in traffic. You can get there too late. The person was discharged already. Your car doesn't start. You went to the wrong hospital. You went to the wrong floor. You missed them. They're sleeping when you got there. That's all Hashem. There's nothing to do with you. Your Bechira doesn't cover carrying out your decision. Your Bechira. That's Hashem. The Bechira, the decision, is you. Hashem's not there. The question is, what does he mean by number two? And number two, also Hashem's not there. So the words are hakavona v'haskoma lasos ma'ase bocher bo. So some learn in the Chovos Halevavos, I think most Mefarshim learn, that number one was not really a hard and fast decision. It was more like a decision to consider it, or like thinking about it. I don't think that's pshat, but that's how some learn. And number two is behechlet. I made a decision with a finality. Hakavona v'haskama, a finality. I finally reached my final decision, behechlet, I am going to do this. I want to do this. I will get up. I won't eat this. It's a questionable kashrus. I won't eat it. Number one was, I really shouldn't eat it, and I really think I know I shouldn't eat it, and I don't plan on eating it. But number two is the hechlet. That's how most mefarshim learn in the Chavis HaLavas. I have a different pshat. And I admit it's not mashman the words so much as their pshat, but I have trouble understanding this pshat I just said, because why have three things? Why split it into three? And like, what's the point of the first if you didn't make a final hachlota yet? Just, I'm a good guy because I'm considering putting on tefillin. Like, I'm considering it. I'll think about it, Hashem. I think that the first thing is the decision, and the second is your plan for implementation of the decision. You know, I made a decision, I'm gonna wake up at 8 o'clock tomorrow so I can go to the Kaisel and I can daven and be back in time for my kids and etc. I'm gonna get up at 8 o'clock tonight, 8:30. That's a very wonderful decision, and that's Bechira, and kudos to you. But if you don't say, so therefore I'm gonna set the alarm clock, that also Hashem has nothing to do with it. Meaning, you can't say, just like Hashem, you can't say, I'm gonna go to sleep. And whatever Hashem has in mind for me is going to happen. If Hashem has in mind for me, I'm going to go to the Kaisel, so I'll wake up and I'll go to the Kaisel. If not, not. That's Bechira. I heard from Rabbi Leibowitz. I'm going to this. If Hashem wants me to be rich, I'll be rich. If that doesn't want me to be rich, if Hashem wants this, I'll this. So here also, no. So he says that's silly, wrong, and foolish. We didn't learn those words yet. He's going to say that in a couple of lines. But now I say the second thing is that Hashem, you can't say, okay, I'm going to Kaisel tomorrow. I'm going to sleep. I'm relying on Hashem to wake me up. No, Hashem's not going to wake you up. You get that alarm clock. You have to have a game plan. I want to finish Shas. I mamish decided I'm going to do chesed. I'm going to help people. And you have to have a game plan. How are you going to help people? When are you going to help people? What are you going to do about your other responsibilities? I hold that's part of Bechira. Part of Bechira is having a plan for implementation. Because without that, your Bechira is just nice. It ends up being just nice intentions. It's wonderful, but it's not in the real world. So this is my explanation of the Chayz HaLovas, the Mepharshim don't learn like that, but the first, number one, and the first two he says Hashem is uninvolved in, it's like Kavayachol, because like, theologically, that sentence is like, impossible, right? But he says it. The first two he says Hashem's not involved in. But the third thing is Hashem's as involved in that as he's involved in your parnasa and in everything else in your life. Whether you're going to do the mitzvah, whether you're going to actually be able to carry it out, whether you're going to have the circumstances in which you can refrain from doing the avera, the circumstances, that's all Hashem. You have nothing to say in the matter. Because Hashem could manipulate events and manipulate whatever happens that you won't be able to carry it out, or that you'll be in a situation where you have to violate the Avera. So that's it. Okay, we'll stop here. So the first one is the decision, and the second one is, it's a chiddush, and I hope I'm right, is the implementation plan is also you, not Hashem. You can't rely on Hashem to wake you up in the morning.